Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear this in my heart, Stanton, that the enemy has come against your life, and he has tried to sift it like wheat. And it is because God has a strong call upon you for his kingdom and for his glory. And there have been things that have tugged on you from the left and the right. There have been things in private, things in public, things from others that have tugged on you to try to get you off of that track. But in your heart, there has been an overriding sense of peace that has always brought you back to center and has always brought you back to the Lord. And it is because the Lord's hand is upon you for good and not for evil. And some of these things that have taken place in your life that you thought have been disastrous have actually been things, safeguards and rails that have kept you from the wrong places and the wrong people, that have protected your future, because your future belongs to him and your future belongs for him. There are things that he's going to do through your life that are going to touch the lives of other people. There are going to be people who will sit at your feet and listen to your words and be fed and ministered to. Because when you talk to them, it's not just something that you've read or something you've heard, but it's something you've experienced, and it's something that he has walked you through. So with that, know God's hand has been upon you, that it has not been there for evil, it's been there for good. He is never going to give up on you. He is never going to forsake you. He is always there for you. He is a father to the fatherless. And in your life, you are going to see his anointing and his power and his plan unfold before you year after year, layer after labor. So with that, you can run, but you'll never run far, because the grace of God and the call of God will always pull you back to the Father's house. He has a plan for you, and that plan is for an appointed time. And when it springs forth, it'll be the most glorious thing you have ever seen, and a full resurrection and a full return. I hear this in my heart. The Lord's going to make, he's going to make it up to you. All that the enemy has stolen, the Lord is going to make it up to you. Because Stanton, the call on your life is great, and the call on your life is for him and to be used by him, says the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're a special kid. Special kid. Thrilled to know you, buddy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Brandon and Abby, I hear this in my heart. New. The new is breaking through. The old is disappearing, and all things are being made new. And suddenly it's going to spring forth the plan that God has for you. For the plan that you're in is just a shadow of the things that's to come. Soon the obstacles are going to move and the light is going to shine through. And instead of walking in the shadows of his glory, you're going to see the amazing grace of the Lord God shine bright upon you. His favor, his grace, and his hand has been upon you and will be upon you. So rejoice and be glad, knowing that the future is incredibly bright, that what you've seen is just a taste of the things you will see, that what you've walked in is just a taste of what you will walk in. With that, the old has passed away in its entirety, and there's nothing there that can weigh you down or pull you down any longer. The new is breaking through. It's shining through like a light, and it's going to cause all the weights and chains to melt and fall beneath your feet, and you're going to walk in more freedom and more liberty than you have ever walked in before. For God's grace is coming upon you. It's a new season. It's a new day. And yes, there have been things here or there that have been new, but it pales in comparison to the new things God is doing and God will do. So rejoice and be glad, knowing His hand is strong upon you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you, Father. We adore you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear in my heart for you that there have been some things, fears here or there that have lingered. Just fears here or there. I hear that phrase in my heart. Fears here or there. And I hear this in my heart for you. There's nothing you have to be afraid of. There is nothing you have to be afraid of. The Lord is providing for you. The Lord is protecting you. The Lord has watched over you ever since you were a little girl. And there is nothing you have to be afraid of. There is nothing you have to be afraid of. The Lord is with you. He is a shield for you. And the things that have been thrown at you, He is lifting up a standard. And it will not harm one hair on your head. That just as the Lord was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Lord is with you. He's with you for protection. He's with you for promotion. He's with you for favor. And all the things that have taken place, you are going to see the Lord restore those things back to you. And it's going to be better than it's ever been, says the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No fear here. No fear here. No fear any longer. The Lord has got you in the palm of His hand. In the palm of His hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up to the Lord and let's thank Him. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I hear this in my heart for you guys. Suddenlies are coming. Suddenlies. Suddenlies are coming. And the season's about to shift and the season's about to change. And suddenlies are coming. Suddenlies are coming to your household. And some things that you've been believing for and praying for, and it seemed as if some of those things have been delayed. They may have been delayed, but they have not been denied. Suddenlies are coming, and in this new season, it's going to spring forth speedily, says the Spirit of grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I hear this in my heart for the praise and worship team. I just hear the word album. Album. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I just hear it'll come forth at the right time with the right music. The right time and the right music, it'll come forth. And it won't be forced, it'll flow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're forever faithful, God. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit tonight? You know, the devil's done all he can to make the Holy Spirit weird and strange, but the Holy Spirit is never going to make you uncomfortable. He will never make you uncomfortable. The one word that Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit was the Comforter. The Comforter. And it's amazing how he's done everything he can, the enemy has, to make him uncomfortable, to make him unwanted. And it's because there's so much power and life that comes out of him and comes from him. He is the powerhouse of God. And so with that, in your own life, take the time to yield to the Holy Spirit. Take the time to slow down and see what the Lord would say unto you. Because when the Lord speaks to your heart, it is never just for instruction. It is also for empowerment. When the Lord speaks to your heart, like with Peter when he was walking on water before he walked, the Lord spoke to him and said, come. Well, that was not just instruction, that was empowerment. Within the instruction was the power for Peter to fulfill that word. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and sometimes he does it through fireworks like this in a service, he can pull you out and speak to you, and those things are wonderful and good, and we thank God for that. But with that, in your own life, you ought to be hearing from him. Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. You ought to be hearing from the Lord. You ought to be walking with him, fellowshipping with him. And out of that, be sensitive. Be sensitive to just pause and wait before him ever so often in your life. Don't get in so much of a rush and a hurry that you miss what he would say unto you. Because many of those things, he's not just trying to instruct you. He's trying to empower you for the thing that God has prepared for you. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Tommy, do you have something? Do you have something? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I hear this in my heart for you, Tommy. I hear that there are some things that the Lord's going to do for you guys personally, because there's some personal things you've done for him. And because you've done some personal things for him, and the instruction that he's given you, you've taken it personally. And because you've taken care of those things for him personally, he's going to do some things for you ministerially, yes, but even more than that, he's going to do some things for you personally. Because you've taken to heart the instruction he's given you. You've made it personal. And so he's going to reward that by doing some personal things for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We celebrate you. Father, we ask you to bless our time together tonight. Let your words be words of life, words of power, words of encouragement. We thank you. We leave this place better than when we came into it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. I tell you what, we could go home now. Said it wouldn't have been good to be here. Yes. Amen. Open up your Bibles with me real quick. I'll get you out still on time, I do believe. By on time, I mean eight-ish. Eight-ish. Let's open up tonight to 1 Peter chapter 5. And in your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 6. And on the screens, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 7. I had it on my heart to kind of share some things tonight. And to just go over how to see progress. How to see progress. I think you could also perhaps entitle it, How to Turn It Around. The more I prayed, the more I just had that phrase on my heart, how to see progress. The Bible talks about in 3 John, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And you know that word prosper, we've talked about it before in church, means progress. God wants you to see progress. God doesn't want you to be on the same level you've been at. Amen. Hopefully you can look back over your life and see progress, because that's what God is. He's a God of progress. And with that, me and my wife, we were in a shop with another couple, we were just kind of looking and shopping around, and we saw this other couple saw something they liked, just something that caught their eye. With that, we noticed their hesitation to purchase it, and their hesitation to go through with the purchase. Make a long story short, after that, some things took place, but then we went back and we were at our home. I started getting emotional because I saw it through the eyes of God and just how much God longs for us to have the desires of our heart and how much God longs to see us be able to walk in all that our heart desires. Desire is big to God. I don't think we can undercut it or underestimate it. Desire is big to God. If it matters to you, it matters to Him. Desire is big to Him. And so with that, the Lord brought that scripture to my remembrance, Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God wants you walking in and being able to see all that your heart desires and craves. And so out of that sprang forth this message, how to see that, how to walk in that, how to experience that, how to walk in all that the Lord has for us. And so with that, I had three steps, but I just felt compelled tonight. We'll just shorten it, and we'll get to two. I think if you can get these two, you'll be all right. You'll be okay. But let's look at the scripture here in 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's look here in verse 6. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Well, let's start with verse 5, actually. We looked at this scripture actually a couple of weeks ago. He says, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, and all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God, notice this, resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. If that's not already underlined, underline it. God resists the proud and gives grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, he says, since God is resisting the proud, and since God is giving grace unto the humble, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now notice this next phrase, that he may exalt you in due time. Now notice two things. One, it's God doing the exalting, and two, there's always a time for it. It's God who's doing the exalting. It's not you who's having to do the exalting. It's God who's doing the exalting, and it's always done in His time. A lot of our frustration is simply because we're trying to operate outside of the timing of God. In God, there's always a season for everything. But when that season comes, it's God's plan, His best, and His will to have us be promoted, to have us see increase, to have us walk in the things that we have seen and are seeing in our hearts. It's God who does the exalting in his due time. And so with that, we have to ask ourselves, what does it take to see the exaltation of God? You know, we've done this series entitled Anything But Average. And in all of those people's lives, we've seen the hand of God. They could not have done what they did do without the hand of God exalting them. It took the hand of God to exalt Jesus to the place Jesus went. Same thing with Daniel, Uzziah, Solomon, all of these men that we looked at, Abraham. It took the hand of God to take them there. And so you have to ask yourself the question, why did God do that for these people? And that's what we've been trying to figure out. That's what we've been preaching on. Why did God do it? But with that, one thing we know when it comes to walking in godly promotion is that God does not promote the same way man does. We see that in the life of David. God deals with Samuel, that there's a prophet over in Jesse's house, and Jesse calls in all the oldest boys, and they stand before the prophet, and the prophet goes down, and Eliab stands in front of the prophet, and the prophet immediately when he sees him thinks, this is going to be who God promotes. This is going to be the one God uses. This is going to be the next king over all of Israel. But as soon as he got ready to anoint him king, the Lord said, no, I have rejected him. I've rejected him. Now, the word reject, it sounds a lot like resist. Now, we read that there are some people God resists. Resist. And friend, if God's resisting you, I don't care how much progress you're trying to make, you're not going to make any progress if he doesn't want you to see any progress. And there are some people, according to the New Testament, according to Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there are some people who will see resistance from God in their life. He said, with that, you need to do something. You need to humble yourself. Well, here, going back to our story, Samuel's standing there, and he goes down the whole list of boys that Jesse naturally thought would be the one who could be king. And none of them were the king. And he finally got over to David. They said, you know, he asked, do you have any more boys in the house? And he said, well, we've got David out in the field. And he said, bring him in. And as soon as he saw David, the Lord spoke to the heart of Samuel and said, this is the guy. This is the guy. Well, what was the difference? What was the difference in David's life versus the difference in all those other people's lives? The Lord spoke to David, or the Lord spoke to Samuel, and said, for the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. The reason why David was promoted is because the Lord saw something different about David's heart than all those other boys' hearts. Now, with that, David gives us a clue as to what that is. And later he writes in the book of Psalms that God looks at with and esteems, I guess would be the word, as very valuable, a heart that is clean before him. That he who has clean hands and a pure heart, that is the person who will see the blessing of the Lord. And so with that, that's my first point. It's all about your heart. If you want to see progress and you're not seeing progress, the first place to look is the heart of man. Out of the heart flow the issues of life, flow the boundaries of life. And with that, before God promotes us, and that's what our scripture here in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 7 is saying, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. Notice this, he bringeth low and lifts up, verse 8. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set him among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. Now notice, it's the Lord who can lift up. Say that with me. Say, the Lord can lift us up. He can, you know. No matter who you are, no matter where you're at, the Lord can lift you up. The Lord can exalt in due time. Well, not only can the Lord exalt in due time, the Lord does exalt in due time for those who qualify. For those who qualify. The lifting of the Lord is not done at random. It's not done based off of luck. It's not based off of a roll of a dice. It's not based off of a push of a lever. It's not done at random. He's selective. The Lord selects who's he going to lift. And he doesn't select them based off of a preconceived idea of what he has about them. He selects them according to something they are doing. In some way, they qualify for his blessing. And in David's life, there was something different about his heart than the hearts of those other boys there. It was clean, and it was pure. In 1 Peter, we read that the people that God resists are those who are walking in what? God resists the who? The proud. So those who are walking in pride are always going to be what by God? They're going to be resistant. But to the humble, what does he do? He gives more grace. So the Bible says, since God is resisting the proud, giving more grace to the humble, I need you to do something. Humble yourself. God's not going to humble you. I can't humble you. Your wife can't humble you. Your pastor can't humble you. The only person who can humble you is you. You have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And the Bible says that when we do that, we qualify for something. Well, what do we qualify? The lifting. The promotion. We qualify for our life being at a new level than the level it was on before. I don't know about you, but I can handle some lifting. Humble yourself. Well, you got to ask then, what's the difference between humility and pride? What's the difference? It's all about a yielded heart. You could say a teachable heart. A heart that can be corrected. A heart that can be changed, and a heart that can be molded. And the reality is most people never get there. Most people, instead of having a heart that can be taught, they have a heart that they harden. The Bible uses this phrase in the book of Hebrews, harden not your heart. So who's going to harden your heart? I can't harden your heart. No one else can harden your heart. The only person who can harden your heart is who? Is you. The only person who can harden my heart is me. Where does that phrase, harden your heart, come from? It comes from Pharaoh in the Old Testament. God dealt with Pharaoh time and time and time and time and time again to make adjustments, to make some changes. And it was all heart issues. Most of the issues we face in this life that keep us from promotion are never fleshly issues. It's always an issue of the heart. God doesn't see as man sees. We look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And if your heart is clean and right before God, it qualifies for lifting. Pharaoh's heart, when God dealt with it, it pulled back. When God dealt with it, it made excuses for its actions rather than changes. A humble heart is a teachable heart. Years ago, well, I say years ago, I guess it was 6 years ago or so, I was going to a conference to go sit in the conference. And a couple of days before I went, I knew in my heart they were going to ask me to preach. Knew it. I mean, I knew in my heart they were going to ask me to preach. And so I started praying and asking the Lord when they asked me to preach. I wasn't on the roster to preach. There were other preachers who were on the roster to preach. I wasn't one. I was going to go hear them. But as soon as I knew that, I started, you know, asking the Lord, okay, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to preach on? Started taking little notes, you know, on the car ride up there and just mental notes and those types of things. Well, sure enough, I get there the first night, and he said, tomorrow morning, would you do the session? I said, it's funny you say that. I said, I'm locked and loaded, ready to go. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And so I woke up that morning and started preaching, or started preparing, just praying in the Spirit and just, you know, going through my pre-service ritual. It's kind of like if you've ever watched baseball, you know, they've got the little deal they do before they step into the batter's box. I've got my little deal. I take a little energy drink, some throat coke, some honey, pray in the Spirit, you know, kind of dust off a little bit and then get ready to step into the batter's box. And so with that, I'm going through my pre-service ritual. The Lord deals with me and tells me to change my message. And so I get up there, and I kid you not, I've never had it before then or after then. Never had this happen to me before. When I get up there, it was like the anointing on my life was times 10. It was so different and so profound. It was like I was outside of my body watching me preach a message. I've never had it happen before. It was so phenomenal and so spectacular, I blessed myself that day. At the end of the service, I had a minister who had been in ministry for years and years come up to me and say, "I want to be you when I grow up." I kid you not, you can ask my wife, she was there. Now, I can say that because I am not bragging on me at all. It was not me. I mean, in fact, I can't even listen to the sermon because I get so mad. I'm like, where is that every time I get up? I want that every time. It was the Lord. It was so above anything I could do in my own strength. Well, anyway, because of that, they asked me to preach again. Asked me to preach again the next morning. And I was praying about what to preach, and I thought, you know, it just would seem natural. I was in such a vein to just do part two of that message. And the Lord dealt with me, changed it up, and he said, "No, I want you to teach on this." Oh, and I didn't want to teach on that because it was a very instructional message, borderline correctional message. And there were a lot of ministers there. This was not just a service like this where the majority of people were quote-unquote believers or church people, laymen. It was ministers there. And with that, a lot of them I knew, but they didn't know me. I knew of them, but they didn't know about me. And by no means did I want it to seem like I am coming in and trying to observe authority. And I was probably the youngest minister in the room and those types of things. And with that, there's an order in the body of Christ. And like we just read, you know, the younger, submit yourselves unto the older. And so I'm having all these things in mind. But man, the more I'm trying to talk myself out of preaching it, the more the Lord is just dealing with me. Say it. And I'm thinking I'm going to say it, but I'm not going to say it like that. I'm not going to do that. He said, "No, I want you to say it." And then he dealt with me, and he said, "The reason why that anointing on you was so heavy yesterday is when you stand up, all their hearts will be open to you now. Whereas if you would have tried to preach that before, it would have fell on deaf ears." And remember, the word of God is like unto a seed. If the ground is closed, it don't matter how good the seed is. If the ground is not open to the seed, it's never going to produce any fruit. So God used that first message and that first anointing to till up that ground. And to get their hearts open, not only to him, but also open to what this young preacher would come in and say to him. Does that make sense? The anointing comes on you as the occasion demands. The greater the occasion, the greater the anointing. And so with that, I'm getting ready, and I know what I'm to say. And I get up there, and I start talking about overcoming heart issues. Heart issues. I mentioned some of those things here. You know, oftentimes when you've got physical heart issues, my father passed away of a heart attack, so I know a little bit of what I'm saying here. Oftentimes when you have heart issues, you exhibit signs that seem like it has nothing to do with your heart. There's physical signs there that seem like it has nothing to do with your heart. There's pain that can come in your back. There's pain that can come in your neck. There's pain that can come in your arm. And it seems like all of those pains are just pains there. It's pain in your back or pain in your arm or pain in your neck. But really, it's the issue of the heart that is causing these other issues. Does that make sense? Something is caught in the heart. There's blockage in the heart. It's not passing through the way it needs to. And it causes all of these signs, and you can go to the chiropractor and still have the pain. You can get your back cracked and still have the pain. Because the problem is not your back. The problem is your heart. And the same thing is true spiritually. A lot of times in life, we've got all these issues, and we think it's a financial issue, or we think it's a leadership issue, or we think it's a people issue, or we think it's all these things, and we go to work to fix those things. We go to work to try to work on those things, to see promotion, to see God's plan come to pass in our life, to see the results we so long to see in our heart come to pass in our hands. And so we go to work on those issues, but that's not the real issue. There's an inward heart spiritual issue, and those are just symptoms of a blockage that is in your heart. Maybe it was someone who started a church out of your church. And out of that, instead of it passing through with forgiveness, it's still lodged there. And it's causing blockage, and it's stopping people who should be coming to your church from coming to your church because of a heart issue that is there. Could be in other people's lives. That's a ministry issue that the Lord has led me through that path. It could be in other things in your life. That with that, something happens in a relationship. Something happens between an employee. Something happens, and fear gets caught in our heart. Insecurity gets caught in our heart, and it causes a blockage, a spiritual blockage, and all of these symptoms start popping up in our life trying to tell us, make an adjustment in your heart. It's the heart. That's the real issue here. And so I got up and I preached on things like that. Just talked about making little heart issues, and I told stories, personal stories, stories that belong to ministers, stories that I wouldn't even tell to this body of believers, just stories of ministers I know of who had heart issues, spiritual heart issues, that out of those spiritual heart issues, it caused natural pains. And I asked them, make adjustments. I felt like the Lord was asking, make adjustments, because until you adjust this heart issue, you're never going to deal with this pain in life issue. You've got to change this. And friend, I'm telling you, the anointing was strong. It wasn't like the day before, but it was different. It was strong in a different way. It was cutting to the heart of some issues. And I had some ministers come up to me after it and say, Pastor Joel, you'll never know what that means, and I've been dealing with this, and it's what you've been talking about. But I knew the whole time I was preaching, there was somebody there who needed to hear what I was saying more than anyone else. That even while I was preparing for that message, the Lord led me to teach on that and to preach on that for them specifically. That it was an outward correction that needed to take place. And any time the Lord deals with you outwardly and corrects you, it's because he's dealt with you in private, but it's fallen on deaf ears. It was a last chance type thing. I've wept for weeks because they didn't listen. A heart issue. A heart issue. And friends, I'm telling you, in my own life, I've walked down these paths, and you guys have known my story. But for over a year, I talked to the Lord when I first took over this church about, Lord, when are you going to bless this church? I know I'm called to this church. I know I'm supposed to be in this church. I know you've given me an anointing to pastor this church, but it seems like nothing I am doing is working. And he came back to me and said, Joel, you keep talking to me about life, but I want to talk to you about you. You've got some things that have lodged in your heart. And until you adjust those things, I can't adjust your life. I can't promote that. I can't use that. I can't bless that. And any growth you see is only going to be because of talent and ability and strategy and plans, but it's not me. Because the Lord sees not as man sees. The Lord looks on the heart. And man, I tell you what, he led me through a journey. I was telling someone the other day, the hardest thing I've ever done in this life, the hardest thing I've ever done, is not take over a church when I was 19 years old. The hardest thing I've ever done is to deal with those issues. The hardest thing I've ever done. Oh, but friend, I'm telling you. My word, was it worth it? And you may have people in your life who have tried to sabotage you. You may have people in your life who will smile in your face and derail you behind your back. And you're going to face things in life. And it's all with the enemy's goal of corrupting your heart. of lodging something there spiritually, because he knows if he can get that, he has gotten everything. And it is only a matter of time before the rest is corrupted as well. The Bible says, a root of bitterness has defiled many, whereby many are defiled by a root of bitterness. And for some it could be it's not something that people have done to you. Life's done it to you. So disappointed by something that happened, and it lodged in your heart instead of passing through. It's kept there. It'll corrupt you. It'll keep you from God's best. You have to let it pass through. My wife came to, I'll close with this. We'll get to point number two next week. Maybe point number three the week after that. We'll see. But my wife, I walked in our bathroom about a week ago, week and a half ago. And I walked in and she told me something. She said, so-and-so, you don't know them. You don't know them. They don't live in the state. They're not here right now. They will not be here this weekend. You don't know them. You don't know them. So after service, don't turn. Was he talking about so-and-so? No, you don't know them. People are funny. We're funny. We're funny, funny. But with that, we walked out. I walked in the room, and she told me this story about how someone, it seemed as if they were taking a step towards forgiveness. It just seemed as if they were taking a step. And when she told me, kid you not, my heart leapt. I mean, it was like, oh, it's so good. Because friends, I'm telling you. I know these people. They're amazing, amazing people. Amazing, amazing people. And they have tried their best for years and years to execute strategy after strategy to try to see progress in business, to try to see progress in life. And I kid you not, I have examined their strategy. They've sent me their strategy. I've told them it looks like sound strategy. It's strategy I would recommend. I mean, and it just, on paper, it's like this thing should be clicking. This thing should be working. But it seems like the more they try to make progress, the more ground they lose. Now, what does that sound like? For God resisteth the who. And once again, if God's resisting you, how much progress you think you're going to make? Nada. Zero. And friend, I'm telling you, if I could counsel them and just sit down in a room and be open and honest with them in a way that they could receive it. And not everyone can receive it. If people can't receive it, you shouldn't try to correct unless God deals with you too. But with that, you can come in and do that. But it wouldn't produce any fruit. It would only cause more of an issue. It would only cause more of a problem. It would only be more for them to overcome. And with that, the one thing you can do is pray. But I'm telling you, if there would be one thing I could do to sit down with them and to just counsel them on, here's what I honestly believe is going to break you through this very tough season of life, it would be this. To get that thing that's in your heart out of your heart. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that when I told them that, they would know exactly what I was talking about. But that situation, that disappointment, has so lodged there that it's blocking everything. And until it is removed, there's no use in trying to do anything else. Because they know better. And God always holds us accountable for what we know. And friends, I want to encourage you in your life to see progress, to turn things around, the first area you and I always have to look is here. It's not our strategy. It's not our connections. It's not any of those other things. If this is bent before God, on bended knee before Him, and you are willing to do everything He has told you to do in regards to your relationships, your finances, whatever it may be, when this is bent before Him and your heart is clean, He can work with that. He can work with that. But if it's not, there ain't anything else He can work with. For out of your heart flow the boundaries, the issues of your life. Amen. Amen. You have been a splendid, splendid audience. I know you stood a little bit tonight. It was 7:32 when I set you down. I know, because I have a big clock back there. So I know many of you were on concrete. And so I'm thankful for you standing. But I tell you what, I love you guys. You are my crown, my joy, my passion. There's nothing I'd rather do than share these times with you. And I'm humbled by the fact that you would come and sit and listen to the word, especially those of you who have to drive up Lakeland on a Wednesday night. There's a special blessing for you in heaven for that. You know that, right? There is. I don't know what, but there's a special blessing. I'm sure of it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We love you, Lord, so much. You're awesome. And we thank you, Father, for your strong hand upon us. We will not be resisted. We will not be resisted. We will be lifted. We will be promoted. Because promotion, Lord, it comes from you. It comes from you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We will see, experience, and walk in your amazing hand of promotion. Bless these people, Lord. Increase them, multiply them. Let them see the desires of their heart come to pass in their hand. Let all they put their hand to prosper and succeed. Crown them with favor. Let them be all that you've called them to be. And let them see this year be the greatest year they have ever seen. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer tonight at the end of service, we're going to have prayer.